Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 57 of Two Guys, Zero Planners. Back after one expected break and maybe a couple unexpected sicknesses, I guess. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
How was vacation?
Obviously, someone was sick, but apart from that, it was nice, yeah. So we took the ferry from Italy to Greece. That was a bit of a long drive through the whole of Italy, but then we had a nice 1.5 weeks in Greece. Only, I think my daughter was sick only half the time. So
better than half.
Last time, I guess. But yeah, now we're done with the holidays for the year, I guess. And we can, I don't know, stay here for the summer.
You sent me a picture of some of the food. And it made me hate you a lot. A lot, yes.
Yeah, I mean, food in Greece, that's one of the high points, obviously. And it was a pretty nice. So in the beginning, we went to the springs of Acheron. So before the river you had to cross was called the Styx. In mythology, they use this Acheron. So this is the actual river, the original river there. And you can sort of walk into it and sort of the springs. So there's a gorge. You can it's Greece. So the river isn't that wide and that deep.
Right.
So and it's also summer. So you walk into the gorge, and on the one side, there's basically water coming out of the ground on the side, which is really cool. And then you can walk, I don't know, we went up maybe 500 meters or something, or a kilometer maybe. Most times you can just walk, and there's like 1-2 spots where you have to swim, but it's actually really cool. And even though it's spring water, it's actually not that cold because, well, it's Greece.
Right. I was about to say, it's not a wide river, because Greece.
Mm-hmm.
It's a nice river, because Greece. Although, if you've been in the river Styx, technically you've been to hell and back?
Well, the entrance is a bit further up. So at one point, the actual river comes out of the mountains. And you can sort of walk up to it. We didn't go that far. So.
Oh, okay.
And it's one of the few rivers in Greece that actually has water in summer, because a lot of them just dry up.
Yeah, it can get dry there in the summer. I know when we lived in Turkey, we took 2 or 3 vacations to Greece, and the one during the summer, the first one we went during the fall, and then the next year we went that summer, and one of the rivers that we went swimming in when we went in the fall, we expected to be able to go back, and yeah, it was completely bone dry. So it's just like, aw. As a kid, you don't think about these things. So you get there and you're just like, where'd the river go? And your parents are sitting there going, damn, now we have to figure out something else to keep them busy for the rest of the afternoon.
Yeah.
I will say, the picture of food did help with one thing. About the same time, I flew my mother out to come visit us for her birthday. Because if I don't force her to fly out, she just doesn't go on vacations. She stays at home and just keeps working. And that's not healthy. So I force her to come out. And there's a Turkish food truck that pops up every couple weekends up here by my apartment. And so I'm like, okay, we're going to go there. And then for your birthday dinner, we'll go get some Mediterranean food. So we go to the food truck. And my mother orders borek.
Mm-hmm.
And the lady at the truck's like, oh, we don't have that, but how do you know of borek? Are you from Turkey? Now, my mother lives in Arizona, so she looks like she's been under the sun. She looks like a she looks mummified already. So, but they got to talking. We found out that the people that own that food truck also owned the building that we lived in the early 90s, and one of the 2 carpet shops in the basement. And nice. They moved from Turkey 1 year after us.
Okay.
It's a small fucking world.
It is, yeah.
But it also gave me a good excuse to find some Mediterranean restaurants around here that are actually halfway decent. But I will say, the lamachon at that food truck, amazing. Like, they got it just right. You ask an American to make lamachon, they never get it right. You ask a Turk or a Greek to make lamachon, they get it perfect every time. I just don't get it. Like, it doesn't seem like it would be hard to make, but dear God, when it's made right, it is made right. And now I want Mediterranean today. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I mean, it's good that you had fun, but sounds like when you got home, the fun continued. So what happened there?
So the good thing on the way back is that we took the overnight ferry back from Greece to Italy. And then we decided not to drive through the night, but stay. And we went to some tiny town somewhere in the Po Valley and stayed there in this tiny old bed and breakfast. I think the woman had something like 3 or 4 rooms. And it was like an old house from the, I think, 1400s or something. And then something like that, right? We sort of had the attic to ourselves, essentially. Mm-hmm. So that was cool. Probably could have stayed a bit longer, but yeah, maybe next year or something. And right. Then she made the breakfast herself, right? She had this breakfast room, and she had made all the desserts and had some croissants and some cake and fresh orange juice. And it was really, the style was very kitsch, but at least mm-hmm. he pulled it off completely, right? So it was at least a style and not just some kind of mix. It was really nice, actually, and fun.
I think that's kind of the important thing. As long as they can pull it together and make it work, then who cares how they do it?
Yeah. And then I guess we went home, and then there was more sickness, and there was this one person was sick, and then the next person was sick. I don't know. It just continued on until essentially last week.
And it was amazing. Nobody's sick right now. You're good to go.
I don't know if my son's sick. He sounded a bit and felt a bit weak today. I don't know. We'll see. So hopefully, but yeah, I mean, next week is the last week of school anyway, so that doesn't matter too much. Let's see. But yeah, wasn't amazing.
No, I mean, the vacation, yes. The everybody getting sick in a rotation, not so much.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we used to have kind of the same thing happen to us growing up, where we would go on a vacation and then everyone else in the family would get sick. And for some reason, I would never get sick.
Mm-hmm.
Which makes it hard, by the way, when you're trying to skip school. Because you're a kid and you just don't want to go. So you try to make up the story that you're sick. And then your mother calls you out on it because she knows that you never get sick. It makes it really hard to lie to your parents.
I guess so, yeah.
So it's just like, damn. I mean, on the plus side, though, at least she was very understanding. And if I put up a big enough of a fuss, she would normally just let me stay home and go, look, if you really don't want to go, I'm going to quit trying to force you because right now you're just being a headache and I don't want to deal with it.
Yeah.
Me being a headache, never.
Yeah. And I think it is not just us. It's like everyone. And it's like that a lot of the teachers were sick in school over the last months as well. And I don't know. I think the health insurance has put out a statistic for last month, and it was a lot of the June with the highest number of recorded sick days in their recording history or something. So this year is really annoying, and everyone's getting sick and no one really knows why.
That's not good.
No.
Normally you want them to know why. Them having a question mark by that one is not really a good thing.
Yeah, I don't know. Random. I don't know. I haven't checked too deeply either. But yeah, whenever we went to the doctors, it's like just some kind of flu or whatever. So.
And then, of course, we got a little bit delayed today because of an unexpected guest.
Yes, I was sitting down here in my office / our downstairs living room, and I looked to the side, and there was a tiny, tiny mouse on the floor. We have this big box of hay for the guinea pigs, and it was sort of just next to it. So this is sort of under the ground, and there's some windows and sort of this European style windows that you can tilt instead of completely opening them. They do have this kind of grill on top, right, where we can walk on sort of on ground level, but apparently a tiny mouse can squeeze through that. there's sometimes what happens, they squeeze through that and then they fall down and then they go through the window, apparently. So it's not the first time a mouse has been in this house, just in this room.
And yeah, it's kind of crazy the kind of spaces a mouse can get into, man.
Yeah, but it was actually pretty easy to catch, and now it's outdoors again, where it belongs.
And now we're recording where we belong.
Yes, only 5 minutes later.
Only 5 minutes, which, by the way, normally I threaten to make episodes urban heavy episodes. Today, though, the only things I have moved up into the show notes are FPC related. So, what have you been doing to FPC?
Obviously, there's always more work to be done. Not everything is as I would want it to be. Sort of number one is actually on sign up. Sort of, I had this random problem for a long time already that basically bots tried to sign up. I couldn't quite make it work so that they would sort of get caught in with some things like, hey, here's a hidden checkbox, but a bot won't know, so it will check it, and then we know it's a bot. So there was a lot of, hey, please click this link to finish your sign-up emails going out to random people with random email addresses that never signed up themselves. And I suspect that this actually kind of hurts when a known person actually wants to sign up, because then these emails get marked as spam quite a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Begrudgingly, I actually ended up now adding a captcha for sign up. Not a big fan of them, but I guess, what can you do? And now I almost have no spam signups anymore. So that is
captcha.
Yeah.
Training robots how to determine what a bus or a fire hydrant looks like.
Well, at least it didn't cost me anything. It was one of those free services, and it's good enough for the time being. Let's see.
Free is always good, because that keeps you from having to pass a cost off to us.
Yeah, I mean, probably wouldn't do that either, but yeah. Yeah, it's all on donations anyway, right? So,
which, I mean, the donations keep it running itself, so that's always good.
Speaking of running, there were actually some performance issues, especially with searching for inks that had been pretty slow. I guess now, let me see how many inks there are. Well, people entered about 450,000 entries.
Jeez!
And that sort of boils down to around 12,000 actual different inks. So that's required a bit of performance work to actually make it work well.
It boggles my mind. It shouldn't, but it boggles my mind that there are 12,000, like over 12,000 different inks currently available.
Yeah, I mean, there really is a lot. And I mean, if you have brands like Van Diemen, I think they're coming out with new inks every month. And I think Birmingham also did that for a while, right? Where they sent out subscriptions and every time it was a new ink. So it's pretty easy to have more inks. And obviously there's Sailor, right?
And then there's Sailor.
I mean, it's not quite 12,000. I'm sure there's some duplicates in there and some things where I just didn't know what to do with them. But yeah,
right.
Yes, there is a lot. Yeah.
The keep it simple part of my brain is like, why do we have to have so many different takes on blue or so many different takes on green or orange? Why do we even have to have orange? Can we just get rid of orange?
Because capitalism, I guess.
Yeah, but can we just get rid of orange? Can we just like have a memorandum or something to just forever get rid of orange and brown while we're at it? Orange and brown. I just, those two colors, for some reason, I don't like them because of how hard they are to properly calibrate when you're trying to do a review for those inks.
Well, at least that's not a problem anymore.
Yeah, we'll talk about that a little bit later. Yeah, the pen collection has shrunk, but back to performance issues on FPC.
Yeah, I mean that was sort of the I guess that's the end of it anyway, because you just look through it and say, hey, this is slow, and you spend a bit of time, and it actually wasn't too bad and too hard to fix, but if it's just a few thousand inks, then it doesn't matter, right? If it's this number, then you actually have to be a bit smarter. And that's all there is.
I guess I'm weird. If my day job was coding, I don't think I would want to come home and do more coding.
Well, so who says that I'm not that I'm doing it not during work hours? not quite true, but a bit, right? We have a allocated for, I don't know, learning and improving your skills. And my argument here is that I learn a lot if I do work with other tools, which they are a bit different for FPC than what I would do at work, right? But
right.
On the other hand, I'm also not telling anyone what I'm doing during that time, right? Just to be on the safe side. So it kind of is not in the evenings, but yeah, I'm not sure if my employer would be super happy if they knew.
Yeah, I mean, because I guess any of the previous things like that I've worked in where there was something tangential that I was doing outside of it would really just be when I ran a recording studio and I was still like playing bass for a band or drumming for a band. It's kind of hard to work on a mix for one band while still having band practice for your other one. So I really could never do that. So I guess I you're lucky having a job where you could actually do that.
Oh yeah, totally.
I mean, also my current employer, it would be hard for me to do the same thing as well, because what I do for my day job has nothing to do with anything I would want to do outside of work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that part of my brain immediately shuts off the second I step foot outside the office.
That's probably a good thing too.
Yeah, some days more than others.
Mm-hmm.
So you mentioned before the show that you had a couple projects that you're still kind of working on for the website.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't gotten there yet. So what I then did next was actually a better support for tagging of inks.
Ooh.
So that that was a feature that existed already, right? You could add tags, but you couldn't do anything with them then afterwards, right?
Mm-hmm.
What I then changed is that basically on the public pages for an ink, it sort of pulls all the tags from everyone. And then you can also click on any tag and it shows you all the inks with that tag. So not a big feature, but you could eventually use that to, I don't know, if everyone were to tag their inks by color, you could have a way to sort of search for inks by color or something.
Mm-hmm.
Right? If everyone says, hey, this is blue or this is a sheening ink or something like that.
Okay. I mean, pretty straightforward.
And then the big one is actually about the pens. So for the inks, I have this whole system where they get clustered, sort of half automated, half manually by me then, where you say, hey, this is one ink and the other one is actually the same. It's just spelled different or something. Now I'm working on that for the pens as well. I still have about 4,500 of those. clusters to go through to sort of find out, is that a new pen or is that the same? But at least I already have this leaderboard where I can see the current standing. And yeah, not surprising that the Twisby Eco is the most popular pen and the Lamy Safari is the second one. But yeah, eventually it once sort of that work is done, I guess I'll add all the other features that there are for inks, right? You can have reviews and you can add descriptions and everything. Eventually that will be on par and have roughly the same features as the inks has.
I was not expecting to see Twisby Eco actually be that high up on the stack. For some reason, I just wasn't expecting it.
It sort of counts every pen, right? Sort of if there are people that have basically every Twisby Eco in every color because there are so many, right?
Okay, that makes sense.
I guess the same is true for the Lamy Safari and number three, the Kaweco Sport, right?
Yeah, if you were counting like Twisby Eco in blue differently than Twisby Eco in green, then I guess, okay, sure. But yeah, Twisby Eco because See, I would have figured Kaweco Sports would have been much higher on the stack. I would have put them higher than Awami Safari.
Yeah, but this is just the Kaweco Plastic Sports, right?
Okay,
the aluminum and the other versions, they are somewhere else in the list. So they're the AL Sport is a number.
You've also got
number.
The Frosted Sports. You've got the Frosted Sports separated as well.
Yeah, and the AL Sport is on number 20, right? That's another 500, and then we would be not quite there, but yeah. I mean, more surprising, I think, is number 8 for me with the Lamy 2000 as the first, expensive pen with over 1,000.
With over 1,000, and how many of those people have had serious nib issues with their Lamy 2000?
I don't know, I've heard of it, but sort of mine was perfect, or is perfect, actually.
I mean, the two that I had were perfect, and my Lamy 2000 ballpoint is also perfect, so I don't know.
Oh, and number 12 is the Eco T, so that's also separate. So the no one can catch the Twisby Eco, I think.
I mean, to be fair, I owned a few Twisby Ecos in my time, and they're not bad. They're good pens. I just was not expecting them to be higher than a few of the others. It's an interesting data point to me.
Yeah.
Wow, the first Pelican isn't until 27?
Yeah, I mean, now there's sort of the long tail coming of all the various versions that are sort of have weird names, and I still have to manually cluster them all. So it probably changes, will still change a bit, but yeah.
Wow. Man, I'm going to have to go back through and look at that list a little bit closer. So how close do you think you are to having this feature done?
I mean, currently I'm doing all this manual work of actually clustering it. And then I want to also cluster them into brands and then maybe link the brands of inks to the brands of pens, because they sometimes do both, right? So this year, maybe. I don't know. We'll see. So it's still a bit of a bigger undertaking. Yeah, and then we'll see how many errors there will be in there, because inks I've done so long that I have a rough idea of what goes where. But then pens, there are a million of Schaefer pens, and I wouldn't even know which ones are the same and which ones aren't. So I'm randomly either combining them or not. So I don't know. I'm sure there's a lot of errors in there.
Oh, man, I didn't even think about the vintage pens. That would just, that would break my brain. So
yeah,
better you than me.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just going to do the best I can. And then, I mean, people regularly reach out to me anyway about the inks and say, hey, there's this and that. They're not the same. Please, you should sort of not combine those. But here, this and that, they are actually the same. You can combine them. And sometimes someone reaches out and sort of fixes a whole brand. So I expect that to happen as well.
When the community does the work for you, you just smile and say thank you.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, eventually, I am the bottleneck, right? There's always a manual step in figuring out how to combine all these things. And because some of the things are just too weird that no computer can do it. And eventually, I will need to figure out how to automate this in a way that other people can also do the work, right?
Have you thought about integrating AI? I'm not being serious. That's just saying that now. I'm not being serious.
I actually have, but the data set is too small, actually. I mean, I have thought of that years ago, but it's just, I mean, if it's not in the millions, then there's really no point in trying that. And which of those off-the-shelf AIs would be able to algorithms? Because, artificial intelligence, I mean, they are not that smart, right? You need a big data set to train them. And
you're not wrong.
I mean, it's just a big bubble at this point, right? It's all just...
AI is just a catch-all term. That's all it is at this point.
Yeah, and all these, the new developments, I mean, they're not as good as some people make them seem, right?
Yeah. It's getting to the point now where in the audio world, like all the plug-in manufacturers for equalizers and compressors and limiters are using the big AI buzzword. So it's like, compress your drums better with AI. And it's like, dude, that's not fucking AI. It's not. All it is yeah. is a string of code that goes, is the waveform above this point? If yes, how long is the waveform? How long is the peak of the waveform? When should I start the attack? When should I start the release? What is the tempo based on the peaks of the waveform? Should I adjust the release based on... It's not that hard, and it's not artificial intelligence. It's a human that wrote a code. That's all it is.
Ugh. Yeah, that's true. Yes, maybe we get more... We can get used tools like ChatGPT to, I don't know, write summaries of stuff. But once you start trying to ask them for facts, then it quickly breaks down, right?
Well, for the longest time, one of the YouTubers I do audio work for, he would periodically ask ChatGPT or a couple of the other AIs for information about his channel or who he was. And watching how impressively wrong those AIs got the answer each time was hilarious. And it's not a small channel. It's 900,000 subscribers.
Mm.
It's not like information about his channel is not out there. It's really easy to find information about the channel.
But, yeah, I mean, it's just an underlying problem with the technology, right? These LLMs, they are just, I don't know, in a sense, smart calculators, right? They've seen an input and then they generate some output from it or try to continue the sequence of words with the most likely words, right? And if they don't have the information, right. then they just make something up in a way. And that's why this is also called hallucination, right? That's essentially right. what it is.
This tangent brought to you by ChatGPT. Proud sponsor. Oh, wait, no. So does that get us caught up on FPC?
It does, yeah. No AI features in the future.
I didn't want to cut off anything important, so sorry about that tangent.
Or maybe, now that you mentioned it, wouldn't it be cool if there's no description for an ink, if no one manually had entered it, I could ask ChatGPT to make one up or something.
Ooh. You know, you could do that as a funny thing, Urban.
And see what happens, right? And
ChatGPT's ink of the month, where you just have like a bubble on the homepage that has whatever ink ChatGPT thinks is the best ink for the month with a description of it. Oh, or a add-in that lets ChatGPT pick your pen and ink combination for you and tell you why you should.
That's true. That would actually be pretty cool. That's true. Yeah. Some made up random.
I mean, because the thing is, some people in the pen world are looking for ways to gamify their pen experience. So that would actually be kind of funny if done correctly.
There is a feature in FPC already where it tries to use the usage data, sort of suggest inks to use or suggest.
But it doesn't tell you a story of why you should.
Yeah. That's sort of right. I could build something to suggest a pen and ink combination and then ask ChatGPT to come up with a reason for it. That's true, yeah.
Oh, man. That could be very... Like I said, if it's done right, that could be very interesting.
Uh-huh. That would be cool, yeah. I mean, April 1st is still a way off, so yeah.
Yeah, you've got time. You've got time.
Yeah.
Well, I should probably cross the bridge of my pen news. So the carpal tunnel has stabilized, I guess, but it did get a little bit worse before it did. So pen-wise, I am limited to essentially Pelican M600s or larger.
Okay.
Not happy about that, but... You know, what can you do? Yeah, so pretty much in order for... Yeah, that tracks. Essentially, I have to have like a 10 millimeter section on a pen to be able to use it. So I could use a Memento Zero because those have like a 10.5 millimeter section. Aurora Optimas have a 10 millimeter section. That Jinhao 159 has a 12.5 millimeter section.
Mm-hmm.
What pen is that? Oh, the vanishing point I have listed as a 10-point. Oh, because it tapers. I was about to say. Okay. Wait, is Sailor back on the table? Yes! Mm-hmm. I can use 1911 larges.
Okay.
They have a 10.5mm section. I knew keeping this Google Doc would be a good idea. Every pen I've ever reviewed, I've got the measurements in here.
Maybe you need one of those Moonman Q1s, those really fat, tiny ones. Or the original, whatever, Japanese.
Well, that's the other thing. The pen also has to have enough length on it to securely go past the webbing in between my index and thumb. Because if it doesn't, then I'm having to claw a little too much at the pen, which also aggravates the carpal tunnel, which, yeah, not fun. So, that said, my pen collection has shrunk to 3 pens.
Okay.
A Lamy 2000 ballpoint and a Pelican M805 Stressman. Mm-hmm. And the M600 turquoise that was given to me by a longtime listener of BYOB Pen Club and of the Inkwell,
mm-hmm.
which I still can't believe they just gave me that pen. Like, seriously, if you're listening to this episode, thank you. I still appreciate that, and I'm never letting go of that pen. Even if my hand falls off, I'm still not going to get rid of that pen. yeah, because that means a lot. But yeah, it's been a journey. I'm still gaining subscribers on the YouTube channel that has not released any new content since October.
Mm-hmm.
I've gotten 2 paychecks from YouTube since I quit doing it. So nice. It's like, okay, this is a thing still. Yeah. And not going to lie, I do occasionally miss it. There are times where I'm like, I would really love to do an ink review right now. And there goes my dog playing with her squeaky toy. Why do you always do this when I'm podcasting? Fine. I'll play with you later. They always, yeah. So yeah, it's one of those things where it's just like, I kind of do miss doing the ink reviews. Mm-hmm. The pen reviews, not so much. But the ink reviews, yes, I do miss. And I have a squeaky toy now being put on my lap. Okay, I will throw the squeaky toy. Ay, ay, ay. See, all you had to deal with was a mouse. I have to deal with a 65-pound dog that wants me to play with it.
Yes, probably. Is this the end of the episode? We can talk about my more than 3 pens. And I bought more than 3 pens since the last time we recorded.
Well, we'll save that for the next episode so we have a topic.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll probably have more topics too. We've got this whole thing on mechanical keyboards that mm-hmm. has expanded since the last time. I've also switched up my audio gear some more because mm-hmm. of course I did.
Obviously, yeah.
I mean, even Urban probably notices that I sound slightly different than I did last time.
And no, we don't record often enough that I would notice.
Fair. And also, to be fair, when I'm gaming with the people on Discord, I'll hop in the chat and go, hey, guys, do I sound any different? And they're like, no, we can't tell the difference. And this is after I go out and like spend $400 on a microphone and do a couple modifications to it and change how I'm equalizing it on the back end. And you're like, no, we can't tell the difference. And I'm just sitting there going, you guys are a bunch of assholes.
I mean, you can, as a layman, you can tell if it sounds bad, but once it sounds decent enough, then I guess it becomes really hard to tell the difference.
So what I'm hearing is I've gotten really good at just making it consistent.
Probably, yeah.
You know, one of these days, I'm going to get you using a different microphone setup. One of these days.
Yes, I still have it in my Amazon card. Which one was it? Was it the PreSonus Revelator?
Oh, I've changed my mind since then.
You've changed my mind again. Ah, but it's like, okay, yeah. Wait, the one I see here. Okay.
But yeah, well, one of these days I will have you changing your mic and then controlling things. Yes, and then all the control.
And then I can pass on the other mic to Monica, should we ever record again, I guess.
Yeah, I was about to say, when is that going to happen? I miss listening to Tech Talk.
But hopefully soon. I mean, was a bit a tumultuous months, a few months for both of us.
Oh, yeah.
Soon, I guess. Hopefully. Unless Monica is again. I mean, she's probably in Italy already on holiday. But maybe she has her microphone with her. I don't know. Otherwise, we're probably going to record anyway. And then it will be bad audio quality and the windows open and you can hear the cars and the Vespas going by on and the kids playing. Yes. As in the past. Yes.
Boy, why do I do this again? Oh yeah, because I like doing it. Okay. Well, we are going to keep it a little bit short this time. That way we have incentive to do another episode. There are no vacations currently scheduled for either of us, and I am currently out of PTO for the rest of the year, so I'm stuck here. But we will catch you all later. Probably some mechanical keyboard and audio gear talk next time, and the pen journey that Urban has been going down yet again. Hopefully no cheap Chinese pens.
I mean, there's Chinese pens in there, but they're not as cheap anymore.
Fair. Well, we will talk about those probably next month. Till then, we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye-bye.